make it every day, but I earn it every damn day.
You got some color on your face a little bit. How was your trip?
It was very sandy. We're still getting sand out of our cracks.
Did you guys have a good time, though?
The girls did, and that's probably what matters.
That is what matters. Did you have a good time?
I don't like the beach.
Sand. What's wrong with you?
I'm very white, and I have a...
So am I. What's your point?
I wouldn't say unnatural, but probably not logical fear of skin cancer. So I avoid sun.
Sweetie, I mean, that's what sunscreen's for.
Sunscreen does not work when you're as white as I am. Come on, man.
You are pretty pale.
I am.
Even compared to me, you're pale like my daughter's pale.
I'm pale like if you turned off the lights and I were nude, you would see a white form and think it was a demon coming to suck your soul out. Why is that funny?
Oh, because that's what my mom says about my brothers.
That's just not nice.
No, she would say when we would go to like lakes and rivers and stuff that she would lose me because I tan and I tan quickly. So she would just lose me in the crowd. She was like, but my sons, all I had to do was look up and find the glowing figure. That's my kid.
So, no, it was fun. Hazel's walking now, so that's...
I saw that. I'm so excited.
Some crazy walking. It looks like she's walking dead, but nevertheless, walking.
She walks with personality.
She, you know what? If she leans that large head forward, it could be catastrophic. She's still learning how to control the head. So, basically, I told Mabel today, yeah, it's podcast night. She's like... Okay, fine. She's like, go have a good time, but don't cuss. And I was like, do you know me? She goes, yeah, it's probably a waste of time, but I figured I should at least try to keep, you know, you on the level.
That's what your daughter said.
That's what my daughter said.
Oh, Mabel, I'm so fucking sorry. I got nothing.
Oh, well, we were at practice, band practice the other day. And so Mabel started this school for like,
Really smart kids. Yeah.
Really She's smart kids.
Really and smart.
It's easy for her. And so I was talking to Bill, and Dr. Bill is just a doctor. And he's smart. And I was like, Bill, I'm really concerned. And he's like, why? It's like, because this school is easy for her, you know? And I go, that kind of makes me nervous. And he goes, why? Are you afraid you're not going to provide a good environment for her to flourish and grow? And I go like, Bill, I'm already not providing that type of environment.
That's not true.
So it can only get worse from here.
That's not true. You guys have fostered a very good and loving environment in your home. You're both excellent parents. Give yourself a break. You are a butthead, but that's fine. But I missed you. It was weird doing an episode without you. I was kind of like, I have no one...
I love the interview. I thought it was great.
Was it
those
good?
Those guys were fun.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not like, you know,
there were some.
Spoken.
There was something I had to edit a lot out because, but there were moments where I was like, I really wish Brent was here because he would love this.
It was a great interview.
I still edited it out.
I loved it. I had fun. They were funny and engaging, especially when he said, yeah, I'm a big guy, but that dude's just like big. it's a good interview. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was funny.
My favorite, I tried to ask Brent questions for you. I was like, did you try new recording equipment? He was like, yeah, I've got this 6 foot tall.
Yeah, I thought that was fantastic. That was so perfect.
But I missed you because it would have been, there would have been this whole other technical level without you. You provide a lot and it sucks when you're not here.
I don't know, because those guys were pretty technical, and so
those guys are pretty awesome.
If guys are going to be technical, then I don't necessarily want to go to that. You know what I'm saying?
You tend to go you go wherever you want anyway.
Right, but I want to go to a place where they're not expecting.
Do you see me staring at you, Brent?
I do. I pick up on that.
Yeah. You're down at the bottom. Yeah.
My wife looks at me a lot like that. She says,
oh my God.
Desist.
No, desist. No. Engage.
Abort. Abort. So So can I do your intro?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. What so I want you to listen to it. And if there's something you don't like,
okay,
just let me know. Okay. So I took some liberties. So if I step out there too far, just fucking deal with it. Okay. Here we all go. Right.
All right. I like that. Just deal all right. with it.
This artist has style and grace, developed in the venues and on the streets of Flint. His rendition of Time After Fucking Time has been praised by Cyndi Lauper. Yes, Joe Rush has been DTF since 2004, but this sad indie cowboy pop vocals are undeniably pleasing to my ears. Let's welcome Fernando.
Yeah, I dig it. I'm cool with that. That's wild. I like the Cyndi Lauper call out. I appreciate that. Yeah.
So when did you test positive for DTF and how did it change your life?
I tested positive for DTF probably as far back as 1988.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Been DTF a long time.
It's a long time to live with that infliction.
It's someone's got to carry that burden. It's not an easy cross to bear, but wait, here I am.
I don't think you're the only one.
What the fuck is that?
Okay, DTF has many meanings.
Yeah.
The one that he means, well, okay, let go.
The one that you
handle
mean.
It, Fernando.
I love that this is getting shout out here because Joel Rash is he has been a huge mentor of mine, whether he likes it or not. He has mentored me since I was first introduced to playing music in a punk venue, and he's pretty much a culture curator, tastemaker, you know, a scene legend, if you will, in the Flint area. And our legendary venue in town is called the Flint Local 432. Now, as time has gone on, he's passed that torch on to younger management, right? But he still oversees all of it. But he'll do other things in the city. And so his newest marketing campaign, just to kind of put a spin on our scene here, is he created these stickers that are DTF. And of course, that's going to get some questions like, what? Oh, God, no, but it's downtown Flint. I'm downtown Flint. He's downtown Flint, you know, and anyone who's associated with the positive aspect of our lovely city, of our notorious city as well, you know, we're pushing DTF. So long as everyone else is cool with DTF. Okay. Yeah. Question.
What else does DTF mean? What else does DTF mean? You can say it.
It means downtown Flint.
You can, hey man, you can let it fucking fly if you need to.
Mm-mm. No way. I'm sticking to the campaign. I'm sticking to the campaign.
He's like, you're not gonna catch me. Not today.
It was funny because when I ran into Joel and he was like, oh, I'm glad I ran into you. And I was like, why is that? He's like, because I know that you've been doing things on TikTok, and I want you to have one of these. And I look at this like, what is? It's just a sticker that says DTF. I'm like, Joel, and he was like, It, you know what it means. I'm like, he's like, downtown Flint. I'm like, oh yeah, of course I know what that means. And he was like, so let's keep it that way. so yeah, I did a video for that that was kind of based off like my mini viral TikTok video about testing positive for being a little stinker. So
it was funny. I liked it when you went in and he goes, I haven't been DTF since 2004. Get out of here. Oh my God. I thought it was good.
You've got Raynell sweating over there. You buckle up. I think that as far as Brent's going to push it,
He's driving.
I don't know where we're going.
He wasn't here last week or for the last interview. And I just said, gosh, Brent, I really missed you. You add a level of like technical questions and comedy that I didn't have without you. And now I'm like, why did I fucking say that?
Can I fire him right now?
Never.
I've seen some of your stuff online and some of your videos, particularly this is not one of the songs we're going to like actually talk about and play, but I did want to talk about it. What was the inspirado for the apologies video?
Oh, the apologies video. So that song was actually, it's one of those stories that I just kind of wrote about. I don't want to give away too much because it's not my life, but okay. So the idea is that, you know, someone is in love with someone else and, you know, there's just, how did I phrase it at a show once? I was like, I quoted, the movie Walk Hard. And it's like, you know, and like, it was unfortunate because I was just kind of going off the cuff. And then someone else was like, is everything okay in your personal life? And I was like, yeah, I'm okay. It's just from a movie. But it actually lines up well with what the song's about. Now, the song is about, you know, like you fall in love with someone and they're kind of in love with you too, but they've got this whole new life and there's this weird connection that kind of remains. And so kind of being in a situation to where like you wish that you could be together, but ultimately you realize it's just toxic. You know what I mean? What is this person doing wishing that they could be with you and you want to be with them? And you're like, wait a minute, this seems like, and one, I guess some stories work out to where maybe the person's with the wrong person, right, in the first place. But in other instances, kind of like, maybe leave them alone. Maybe they've got some things to work out. I don't know. And you don't want to get involved, right? But as far as the video goes, that video actually was, the funny thing about that was actually a class project.
It's actually,
really?
Yeah. Nice.
I had gone back to school and I had, Kelly Cerate is a classmate of mine. She's out in Detroit right now and going into media production and management. And I'm a millennial. So I was in a class with some Gen Z students and they ate me alive pretty much because I have no idea what's going on anymore.
Yeah, that happened when I went.
I actually was kind of beside myself because Kelly approached me and she said, the final project. I said, what about it? She said, we're going to make a music video for you. And I'm like, oh, you want to do that? And she was like, yeah, I absolutely. So let's go. Because I'm just like, I know what I am, man. I'm just a weird dude that like I make music. That's my passion. But I know I'm a weird guy. And, you know, I'm not for everyone, but she asked me about the song, what was about, you know, like, you know, if there's any real life references that, you know, I can draw from. And so we got together and we were like, all right, we shot it at a coffee at a bookstore, Totem Books, just trying to, you know, like kind of cram in as much like Flint stuff as we could. And we had the other guy, which was kind of like the girl that my character was interested in. And she was with someone else. Her love interest or her main, I guess I was her side and that was her main. And her main is actually this guy who played drums in a band when I was younger in this area, who's just like a big music cheerleader now at this point in time. He doesn't play anymore. He's kind of settled down. He has children but he's always been kind of really supportive. And I was like, I kind of think it'd be like an interesting thing if we kind of utilize some juggalo makeup for some reason, and then like I'm a juggalo, and then like my love
interest
is
ICP throwbacks. Yes.
Yeah. So there's this like, so there's all kinds of weird Michigan music references in there. But then we were like, you also use this cowboy theme because you like Western stuff. So all right, let me order some inflatable horses. And Kelly's just like, just keep going. She's like directing me.
She's loving like, it. She's like, more.
Yeah.
More cringe. Go.
Yeah, exactly. And it was, and Kelly is not a cringe person at all. Kelly is very much like, she loves all kinds of music, but she's very well put together. She's not the kind of person that's going to put herself out there to kind of like make questionable visionary choices like I do for myself. But she's like, that's your thing. So just push that and, you know, we'll see how it goes. But I'm kind of cool. So we had like this weird clown story, you know, like clown guy kind of, and then into a clown girl and doesn't work out. Right. Anyways.
So what was questionable about it? I thought it. Okay. So the song, if y'all guys haven't heard it, it's online. It's like everywhere. It's like, it's almost as down as DTF.
I love
so it. Go check it out. This video is good. Not only the quality of the video, but the audio and the stories there are kind of kind of there too. Well, it's not kind of there. It is there. It's really good. And so I like that. And that wasn't the first thing that I experienced with you visually, but it was one of the first things. And I was like one time I seen you from all these weird angles and I was like, okay, I had long hair, but my hair didn't ever look that good. It's like perfect braid
at one point in time.
Really? Yeah,
it's between the ages of 2 to 4, but that's a long story. You can go read the stone tablets if you want to know more details about it. Or look at the artwork on the cave walls. Boy, I haven't talked to you in a while. It's just like coming
out. I know.
I'm happy to be here for it. Like, this is.
I'm glad. This is what happens after he has a break. It's just verbal vomit. I'm not going to get many words in. Just I'm here for the experience.
You know, I think why I was using the word questionable is because when I brought forth the Juggalo idea to Kelly, she was like, you don't do Juggalo rap, though. I was like, yeah, I know.
I know.
She was like, you're kind of like this like weirdo cowboy guy. I was like, yeah, but see, I want to be like a clown, right? So like, you know, I see my love interest as a clown, clearly, because she's like, I'm the side piece. And she's got her main clown, right? So, and she's like, okay, all right, let's just keep going, make it
weird. On top of that, everything else in the life like that is pretty much a punchline. It's a tragic joke.
You know, especially
the person on the outs or on the side,
where they're
just being, essentially, they're just being used. They're an outlet for some type of thing not being obtained from the primary. But anyway.
And then sometimes, you know, what you were looking for was always right in front of your eyes. You just didn't realize it, right? So that's kind of how the video sums up.
But that's not how it works, man. You have to get married, divorce, have kids with multiple women.
That's
and
your
then
story.
Finally, at some point in time.
You say, yeah, you play music then, don't you?
Some people would say that, but some people would say, no, you don't.
I love you. The honesty on this podcast is there, whether you want it or not. Yeah, the life of a musician is fun, isn't it?
You know, a funny thing in that video is when you go, hey, look, who's up there? And then you wave down, it's me. Fucking laugh my ass off. I was like, oh, my God.
So the funny thing about that is that was completely like serendipitous. Like, we were just trying to figure out places to shoot. And I was like, well, all right, I'm going to go up on the parking ramp. I'm going to take this. I have like a Bluetooth setup for the mic. And I was like, I'm going to go on the parking ramp. Let's see if the audio reaches. So I go up there and we just shoot some footage. And then we were walking later. And my sister, who was helping me shoot this, says, what's up there? She's trying to get me to, like, you know, like point and do different motions. And so, completely unrelated, but I was editing the video. I was like, oh, that's perfect. What's up there? Just do a quick cut to me being up there.
But I thought it was funny. It fucking cracked me up.
Yeah, it worked out. That's a lot of those videos are just like cutting at the right time. It's like, oh, that's weird. That's sudden.
How long have you been writing and playing?
Oh man.
Are we talking about music?
Yeah. You mean?
Like, I mean, well, I like don't know what
poorly
else you're writing
or
playing.
Better, like.
Just in general. Well, we all start poorly. We all start poorly. So I don't think that counts.
I'm a little bit better than where I started. I would say just a little bit though. Not,
oh, you know, well then you're doing really well,
that's,
man.
That's the beauty in it. You just, as long as you can look back and say, hey, you know what? This was a little bit better than I thought it was going to be. That's pretty good. I've been playing.
I do that with the show.
Yeah.
I'm like, we should be further on. We should be going further. And then I'm like, no, wait, you're doing okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, you just keep going.
Just keep going.
That's all you can do. Just keep going. Don't look back.
So, no, never.
Yeah. Never look back, you know. Unless, like, I like to look back if it's like years or like a lot, like, or like I would say, like in your case, like look back a lot of episodes. Don't look back at the last episode. Because then you're like micromanaging, right? But if you look back, like maybe like however, like 100 episodes back or something like that, you say, oh, you know, that many episodes ago. Like, okay, now look at all those things that I was doing back then that like I didn't like. And now, you know, so that's kind of like what it's like with music for me. I'm like, wow.
Brent, ooh. No.
Uh-oh. Go, Brent. Let's do it.
I always try to do the wrong thing. It's like my go-to. Whatever you're not supposed to do, I'm like, okay, that's where it's at. That's where I must go. To boldly go where no one shall go.
Yeah, well, you might make some friends there.
Somebody's got to be there. Might as well be me.
Stories at the least.
Yeah.
There's nothing special over here. So let's just dig another layer.
That's right.
And move to Flint.
Come on, let's go. We'll take you in. it's a very unlikely place to end up, but from what I hear, anyone that ends up here enjoys it because the rent is cheap, and so is the beer. So you know what I mean? Like you can't really go wrong with that if that's what you're into. And musicians, they're all over the place around here. Since I was 16, though. Yeah.
So you've been playing 16. Since you were 16? Yeah. Wow, what a long way to get to that. How many instruments do you play?
Well, I play guitar, and I play bass, and I guess I use my voice. That's about it.
That's three.
I play ukulele.
That's four.
Not well.
Me neither, but it counts.
Doesn't count.
I'm trying to learn it.
It does count.
I'm trying to learn it.
No, I mean, it doesn't count that he doesn't know it. If he plays it.
Four. Harmonica. I'm starting to kind of utilize that. Which is like very challenging for me for some reason. I'm looking around. I think that's about it right now. Yeah. So bass, guitar, play some electric guitar if you want to differentiate, harmonica, ukulele.
See how you never sat down and put that all together before, did you?
I never did. Yeah.
First time.
Wow. What would I do without you guys?
I don't know.
I tell you wouldn't make more money.
Thanks, Brent.
You're welcome.
I'll tell you what you wouldn't do.
So Brent,
let's do the world home, Brent. Feels less on fire.
The world feels less on fire with you. Yeah.
So this is a cute song. And the music, how you coupled the music with the vocal phrasing in the verses was really cool, I thought.
Thank you.
My question about this song is what is on fire specifically?
Oh, man.
What are you talking about yourself? You can do it in generic style form. You can name names. You can give me their social security numbers. Whatever you feel you need to do.
This is actually, we are going to steal people's identities right now.
Shut up, dude. It's supposed to be a secret.
You ever listen to, I wish I could remember his name. There's like a bunch of like these viral TikTok rappers that like make these like, I don't want to label all of them as trash beats, but some of them specifically label it as trash beats. Like they just make trash beats. But one artist specifically gives you a play by play of how to steal money from a bank using like fake lines of credit and how to like, you like, it's wild. It's the crazy. I'll have to send it to you guys. Anyways.
Please.
Yeah, that has
link will be in the bottom.
Yeah,
yeah, times are hard.
Yeah, it's the hero we didn't know we needed, but here we are.
Now that's a song title right there.
All right, so the world is on fire. So specifically, regardless of where anyone's sitting on the aisle of politics, right, on how much money they're making, most of us are not making a whole lot of money. Most of us are watching people that are running away with the working class money, whether you're right or left, you know. Yeah. And you have people that are getting like too brainwashed by the news sources, like whether you like, you know, more right wing leaning media sources or left wing leaning media sources. I specifically call out Fox News, but that's just
that was
because,
my favorite line, by
just
the way.
Because, like,
thanks.
but to be fair, I found the people on the right now actually don't, or I should say far right, don't like Fox News anymore. So I don't know. It's confusing. But no matter which way you turn, you don't know what to believe. The world feels like it's on fire. Like we have climate change, or if you don't believe in climate change, then something else is terrible in the world. you know, then there's like, what else are we all doing? So like in 2020, when people went into lockdowns, there was like a huge increase in SWs and sex workers, right? People making OnlyFans content, right? And not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that, you know, we've just been challenged to do things that maybe we probably wouldn't have thought to do, like maybe, you know, 8 years ago, right? So
you know,
the world feels like
in
it's,
my defense,
you
know, my defense, I have gotten better.
Your content, I mean, I subbed. What can I say? I subbed.
Why is this water? Okay.
So, you know, the world is just like, you know, and so for those that are like fearful of that kind of stuff, it's like, all right, so what kind of things are we all experiencing collectively, right? And it's like, oh, man, it's a whole lot. And it's always a lot now. I mean, I can't imagine what it was like when the 24 news cycle became a thing for the first time. Right? Imagine like being around when the 24-hour-a-day news cycle was first came about. And now you're in this era to where not only is it the 24-hour news cycle, now you have a device in your phone that is giving you alerts all the time and of anything and everything. You know what I mean? And so it's a constant barrage of just like, oh, well, this sucks.
It's a constant barrage of this sucks.
But a lot of the inspiration was just a lot of that song was specifically written for TikTok. Actually, like not the company, I'm like, no, but I mean, like just from being on the app so much, I see all these different topics of conversation. And one angle that I wanted to try to work with was just writing more like topical ideas as opposed to like maybe personal.
I think I wanna mean something to you. I wanna sleep in on the weekends and wonder what we'll do. Well, I can make you coffee or bring you something sweet. I want to show you how much you mean to me. You could remind me to turn off the news. Everybody hates the president, the last one or two. Well, everyone is dying or watches too much Fox News. Well, the world feels less on fire with you. Trending today, another billionaire race to get to outer space. I don't have a 5-year plan. I don't mind if you're making OnlyFans. I'm just ready for something new. The world feels less on fire with you. Maybe I've seen too many rom-coms. Maybe lately I'm feeling kinda lost. When I think of who I'll tell about my day, I only ever think of your face. But I'm pretty good about cleaning dishes in the sink. Well, climate change sounds scary and the world might end real soon. I hope you'll spend more time with me soon. Cause the world feels less on fire with you.
Funny viral stuff. Have you guys seen Just Tatum? Are you familiar with this guy, Just Tatum?
Sounds familiar.
Look him
I'm
up
on
when.
It more than he.
Yeah, look him up when you get a chance. He went viral for what song was it? It'll come to me later. But anyways, so he started doing cameos, and my sister bought a cameo of him singing one of my songs. And I thought this was really interesting. He's got a really peculiar approach towards performing other people's songs. And so I randomly was scrolling on TikTok, and this was after I went on a little tour, and then I came home and I was scrolling on TikTok, and I saw he went live. So I was like, ah, I was, you know, he might not interact with me, but I'll just see what he says. And I comment on his eye. I was like, hey, my sister got you to do one of my songs. It's good to see you. I figured he'd just miss it in the comments. And he's like, Fernando. Yeah. And he's like sitting there with his partner, and he's like, look, I did his song. And then he brought me on his live, and now we're in contact. And so my next project that I wanted, I'm specifically going to write a song for him and I to collaborate on. So I'm pretty stoked about this. I hope that it comes to fruition. I know he's busy and I'm busy, but we've been in contact in DMs, and so I'm gonna try to write something. But yeah, he brought me on live and he was like, I got an idea, bro. If you, for your next release, have a verse open for me, I'd be down. I'm like, what? I was like, okay, all right. But yeah, he's a super cool individual. He's really different kind of guy. But I think you guys would find him entertaining. So I'll send him your way. But yeah, you had me. We were talking about TikTok and all that stuff, and that's just like something that came to mind. But yeah, that song, The World Feels Less on Fire with You. It's like I have a couple different things I'm working on, which is like I have a band that I work with right now. And then this is more like solo endeavor stuff that I just want to try to play with the internet more, because it seems to, the internet is just, so to sum it up, you get paid more per TikTok videos than you do per stream on like Spotify or Apple Music or all that stuff. And that's wild.
That's not saying much. That's not saying very much. I mean, 0.00008 is not that much. I mean, I don't care what world you live in.
Yeah. That's crazy. So, but that's crazy to me. So like there's a new, what is it? The beta program, I think it's called, for TikTok. And so like so the criteria for being in that program for your videos to be paid out is like, you have to have 1,000 views on the For You page for that video. And then, has to be at least a minute long of original content. So it can't be stitched or anything like that. But that will pay you like after, once you hit that 1,000 and it qualifies, like all those views, like it's like a dollar something. But the fact that that's a dollar something as opposed to the 0.008 something
for
music, it's like, that's what is happening. So I'm like, all right, how do I combine all these like fractions of a cent into content?
Things have changed. And yeah. I mean, we've pulled away, I think, especially in a good way, from like major labels that were kind of evil. And you'd be like, oh, well, you've got a $20 million contract. Right. But not all of that is mine. I only get so much off each record. You get so many points on an album, and the writer gets so many points, and the performer gets so many points. If you're lucky, you're both. And then everybody else gets all these other points, and each point is worth usually not even a full penny. So you have to sell so many. This is for a lot of people know this. You have to sell so many to even make a livable wage. You hear that and you're like, well, you've got this multi-million dollar, but that doesn't fucking matter.
No.
So we've pulled away from that, which I think is good, because it was a giant fuck you to the corporate bullshit. Which, yay. See, the baby agrees with me. But now you're like, but I'm only making a small amount doing this. So like,
I think this is the best environment for people like me, people like you, Fernando, and people like you, Renel. Because whereas before, we could say we had the ability to record from home, but if we didn't have all these platforms to stream, it would just be at home on your computer. You know, the way you get ahead now, or only stay a little bit behind, which is me, is you use multiple revenue sources. And that's your streaming sources, you play live, you do your social media stuff, which I consider to be separate than streaming. Social media monster is different than Spotify. It's different than YouTube, and it's different than Facebook. So you have to think of it that way. And if you're going to be, if you're going to be a musician and you're going to continue to make music, you should also be your own publisher.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's true. You should try to get half your publishing and split it with another publisher, because the pie of a song is basically half songwriter, half publisher. Yeah. If you're 100% the songwriter, you're getting half, and you're 100% of the publisher, you're getting half, which is actually a whole. And that's how you end up making money, because you get paid from gigs. If you're the publisher, you get paid for publishing royalties, which is also when it streams on any of these platforms, whether it be social media or Spotify. And you're the songwriter, so you get paid for that. I mean, I know it sucks to be making 0.000008, but before this, I was making 0.000 infinity.
Yeah.
And so I think you have to think about how you do it. Do I think it will get better? Yes, but then the people that want to make money and keep money will thinking of another entrepreneurial way to keep their money. And then it's our jobs as musicians to figure out how we can get some of their pie, because that's what's going on right now. And then the federal government will start to catch up later on.
Yeah.
But they're the federal government's technically two steps behind. There's the people that generate ideas and make money. Then there's going to be the musicians. And then there's going to be the federal government. And so we just have to either build something that no one else can build, or we just, as soon as possible, adopt what's going on and get in there and try to make money as quick as possible.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I'm sorry. It was a long answer.
It was not what I, but I mean, okay. And Fernando, what do you think?
I'm just happy to be here.
He's like, I'm here so I don't get fined.
Yeah. I filled out the contract in the email. I'm sorry. I have to be here. No,
but genuinely.
It's like a double-edged sword for me, right? Because in one instance, I would love to be able to just say, all right, I wrote this batch of songs and, you know, that's all. I just want to play these songs. I want to go perform these songs. I want to go on tour. I want to sell my merchandise and then, you know, build off that, right? Build off that, keep going. But the reality is just that's not where we're at anymore. I mean, you have to do so much more. But the thing that I do like about this is like the dream of like only being able to do just the music is pretty much gone, right? But what I found that I really enjoy about this is that you have the opportunity now to, which I think a lot of artists are scared to do, is to be yourself, right? Like you can go on apps and even Instagram now with Reels, they've really pushed, they're pushing that algorithm the way that TikTok does. So it you're capturing users that don't follow you now. But you know, you're able to just be yourself. So if you want to make comedic content and like use your music in it, you can do that. If you want to like, her name is, Mary Muse is a really interesting person. We follow each other. I would suggest checking her stuff out. She's really interesting. So she does music. She's an incredible pianist. She's like amazing and beautiful voice as well. She was doing a live tonight to where she just plays like relaxing music, right? But on top of that, she also just does her TikTok random content. But then she also has an Instagram to where that's linked to OnlyFans, right? So like she has all of these different aspects of internet culture, and she does Twitch streaming as well. So like she's doing all these different things of an internet personality, but they're all expressions of her creativity, right? All of those things are. And so like that's something that like, I mean, if we're going to compare, like if we're going to talk about like our artistic, you know, expression, freedom of expression, and then, you know, involving your sexuality. I mean, like you could do that at a certain level of artistry and be accepted for it, right? You had to have already broken mainstream. And then that was like, you're like, now you're going, you've been accepted in your bubblegum pop phase. And now you've evolved into an adult, right? So then you can express yourself in this way. But now you can just do that, like right now from your home, you can say, all right, I have all the tools to be creative. I have the avenue to reach out into these different platforms and express myself and, you know, make an audience. And I think that that's a really amazing thing. Like I didn't get like the followers that I have on TikTok are not like the majority of those followers. I'd say probably like 80% of those followers are not because I'm a musician. They're because I made a couple funny videos that went mini viral. And then the crossover from that, though, is that then I was able to sprinkle in, I'm a musician, or here's the music that this is what I'm actually passionate about. And then that's the crossover, right? And in that meantime, though, like I've probably sold more t-shirts to just overall, not just people that only like my music, but people that also like whether it's the things I'm talking about or whether it's like these comedic bits. They're like, you're a creative person and I like what you do. Just in general, this is fun. I like your content. So let me buy a t-shirt. You know what I mean? And that's incredible because I get to be myself, right? And yeah, there comes the aspect of like, I do sometimes have to think like, well, would my audience like this? You know, regardless if it's music, regardless if it's comedic, but there's still more freedom than, you know, like I have to only be a musician. I have to be a certain kind of musician, right? And fit all the check marks for the niche that you're trying to fill, right?
When the good starts to fade, tell us about that song.
When the good starts to fade.
Yeah, tell us about it.
A little bit of the sad ones.
Tell us now.
That is exactly what it is. It's going through a breakup and you are stuck still seeing this person around because your friend groups are all so intertwined, or it's a small town, or you work together, or maybe you're in a creative space, like they're also in a band and you guys have to play shows together. Maybe you're in the same band. Yeah. Yeah. It's all those things to where you can't really, you know, it's over and there's that longing for it to like that. You wish you could go back, but at the same time, like, you know, there's no going back, you know?
I think this is one of my favorite songs from you. The acoustic part. Have you heard of a country player called or artist called Jelly Roll? That intro part has a feel that's very close to what his music does. I love the steel, and the chorus is really cool. And then you enter the chorus, and then shortly after you enter, then a banjo kicks in too.
Yeah, yeah.
And it sounds really cool. And so this is my question. How do you play this song as a solo, but still keep the depth that the steel guitar adds to the song?
A lot of that actually falls on the approach towards like the percussiveness of the acoustic guitar, right? So palm muting it just a little bit when you're hitting those rakes, that down and upstroke. So on the recording, it's definitely more open. Like those notes are mostly like ringing out, you know. I don't have my guitar. Actually, I do. So like,
I love it when people do that. I love it when that happens. Like it happens like every 5 interviews, and it's my favorite.
So it's kind of played like that on the recording, but you know, in a live setting, it's making it a little bit more like you want to like just suck the room in. You want to like take the air out of the room. Mm-hmm. So usually the approach is just more like.
So a lot of palm heavy yeah. Palm muting.
Because anyone who's talking in the bar, unless they're dickheads, is going to really get quiet. So, and then the vocals are really like soft, you know, so it's kind of like, I don't know, it makes up because there's like the atmosphere that the pedal steel creates on the recording, and it feels really dreamy, but in a live setting, you want to make it feel like you could hear like a needle drop, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. So just kind of taking the air out of the room and it's kind of nerve wracking because like if my voice isn't on that night, you know what I mean? Like
everybody's
gonna everyone's going to hear it, you know, but that's usually the approach. That's actually one of the ones that goes over pretty well in a live setting, you know, not to toot my own horn, but that one is one of my favorite ones to play just because there's that moment to where it's like, you can tell everyone's listening and you're like, oh, this feels cool.
I can remember when you made up your mind. You were done for good.
What is your songwriting process like? Like when you sit down, do you sit down and you're like, I'm going to write a song? Are you one of what I assume is going to be the fucking answer that I get from everybody? Oh, it just comes to me in the car, in the shower. And the people like me who can get the first verse and maybe half a hook and then nothing. Hey, we hate all of you that are like that, by the way. All of you. All of you.
All of the above. I don't have
Does the guitar come first or do the lyrics come first?
It really just depends. You know, my life gets busy, it slows down. If it's really busy, then I have to take that approach to where I'll just pick up the guitar and start trying some words out. But when I have more free time, when I see that I'm gonna have like a period of time where there's bandwidth and I can like schedule time out, I have to make sure that I schedule time to write, even if I don't have anything to write about. Because you fall out of practice and then it's hard to pick it back up, and you're right. And then you got to work through all the bad songs again. You know, like I have a rule of thumb to where it's like, if the song's bad, just finish it. Just write the bad song, write 20 bad, write 100 bad songs, because you'll get to the good one at some point. Right. And if you don't finish the bad song, you're going to keep rewriting that bad song because you didn't get that idea out. But I guess to answer your question, it's a little bit of both. Like sometimes I will just have like, oh, that's a cool line, or that's, here's a vocal melody, or here's something, you know, and I'll just get the voice notes app out and I just say it really quick. And then I'll try to go back to it and figure out like a key to play it in. And then other times I'll just pick up the guitar and say, I have not finished a song, I need to write something. And then I'll just play around, I'll move the capo around or play with different chords, you know, and just go that route. But I don't try to have one method, you know, because I feel like you fall into one method and then you're not really challenging yourself anymore. And when you stop challenging, then you can't really keep growing. And it's taken me this long to feel like I'm writing anything of substantial at this point in my life. So I'm like, all right, keep pushing yourself, because, you know, all that time that you weren't pushing yourself, you know, that's neither here nor there. But I often think like, OK, just stay on it, because you don't want to lose precious time. You know, you want to do these things. Just got to sit down and make yourself do it sometimes.
Do you have a really sweet voice?
Let's talk about that. How'd you come up with your sound?
You have a beautiful voice. When I first heard your voice, I was like, I thought this was a very dude, nice. But it sounds like a chick.
No,
at first I was like, because it's right on the line where it could be an alto or it could be a tenor. And so, and my mom's an alto, so she has like a really, I'm sorry, mom. So she has a really manly voice. And so when she sings sometimes, you can't tell she's a woman because of how low the notes are. And Hizzer walked that line on wasting my time, or waste my time in specific.
Funny that you say that, like the I walked that line. So I opened a show once for this artist who goes under the name Owen. His name is actually Mike Kinsella, and he plays in this indie band. This indie emo band called American Football.
And great band name. I'm writing it down.
American Football. Yeah. It's like it's Chicago based indie emo kind of stuff. And I get to open for his solo stuff under the name Owen. And I played my set, and, you know, we didn't really interact. You know, he's like the bigger artist. But as I'm walking off the stage, going to the back room, and he's got his guitar and he's coming back, he's going to walk past me, and he's like, Hey, you sounded really great. He's like, did you have a girl up there with you? I was like, no, that was just me. He was like, oh, wow. Well, you sounded great. So it happens.
it was in that song. Your tone on Wasting My Time was, regardless of gender, I could tell you had a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
And I honestly cannot pick between Wasting My Time and When a Good Time Starts to Fade as my favorite song. So, you know, wow. Fuck.
Thank you, man. No.
But that song, Wasting My Time, it has a nice acoustic intro. Your vocal tone in that is fantastic. Thank you. Cool electric guitar part. Do you have favorite lyrics for this song, Ronell?
No. I was sucked into the voice, but it's my favorite one.
So because Ronell usually steals my favorite lyrics, I picked out two just so I could get past her.
I didn't do it because you were on vacation, so I thought I'd give you this because I usually do fuck with him. Yeah.
It's like a present.
So my favorite lyrics are kind of two sets. I ain't seen the devil, but I ain't heard from God. Surely know my name because I want to die young. So that's a good line.
Thank and you.
That's pretty interesting. I may have butchered it, so I apologize if I butchered it.
All right.
So he did butcher it?
No, I don't
know. No, did he?
Let me see.
Sing it to me, baby.
How's it going? how's it going? Yeah, remember it now. I always forget my songs as I'm playing.
This was my ploy to get him to pull out the guitar and play to me again. So you're just going to let me have it. Okay, cool.
Oh yeah. I ain't seen the devil and I ain't heard from God, so make sure they know my name because I want to die young.
Yeah, that's an awesome one. And then the second line is, shaking like a child with no words to say, you can love them till it hurts, but it'll make them want to stay. Is that right?
Oh, but it still won't make them stay.
Yeah, that's just,
yeah.
That's what I thought it was.
That's either way you could play that line. It sounds. Yeah.
That line really punched me in the gut. So thanks.
No, it didn't, because you didn't write it down and you
didn't say it was one of your I know.
You didn't feel a damn thing. You are a tease. You're such a tease. Why did you not add a longer solo for your uncle?
Oh, we can get one for you.
That song needs a longer solo. And I know you can play it. I was listening to it and you played a transition thing and I was like, where's my solo? You set it up perfect. It's not there. Did you do that on purpose to hurt me?
Short and sweet. Short and sweet. Yeah. Short and sweet. I want to get in there and get out. I don't want to spend too much time there.
Yeah. No, I'll be honest. I think right now you're one of my most favorite Americana artists. You and Deb Morrison.
Oh,
We've had this poor man on here for an hour and a half, and we haven't even asked him, where can our listeners find your music?
That was a nice redirect there.
I thought
that was a polite redirect.
You did it. Look at that. Music
she
is available.
She can be taught.
On any streaming site. It's available everywhere worldwide, even the free sites. So Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon MP3, Deezer, I don't know what else out there. Bandcamp. If you go to fernandocult.com, it has the primary streaming sites there, but YouTube Music, yeah, everywhere. Just pull up my name, Fernando Silverio Solis, and it's on there.
Sorry we kept you for so long. I feel bad now. We're almost two hours in.
I don't feel bad at all. I'll be honest.
Just felt good.
Felt fantastic.
Yeah.
Very moist.
Would recommend.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening. That was Fernando. It was a great time talking to him, finding out about his music, finding out about his life and what he does. Renelle is incapacitated at this point.
She's done.
She's done. She's spent. You can count her out. So if you liked this episode, great. If you didn't, I don't really care because I want you to listen to other episodes. And if you didn't listen to other episodes, it's time for you to fucking go do it. Now remember, DTF, it has many meanings, which we found out. But you have to listen to this episode and other episodes to learn more about DTF. Anyway.
You can find us on all the socials. And we try to promote other artists that make videos and stuff. So see us reposting stuff. Go find out more about that artist. Please also click those links below to show Fernando some love and affection. And that's all we have. So get out there and make
some.